comments with application with item number 3, application reference number P/18/2067/2, which is the application at Ormbury Gap in Loughborough. I am going to ask Richard, Mr. Bennett, to explain the situation with the appeal to us before we begin, please.
Thank you, Chairman. With respect, I think I'll do that as the case officer, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
just before we start, it is set out in the report, but just to give it some context, and then I'll move on to the report. The members will be aware this application came before the committee in July last year. Planning permission was refused. As is their right, the appellants have lodged an appeal against that decision, and the appeal is currently held in abeyance until the 9th of April. And as is their right, the appellants, the applicants, have worked hard with officers and others to try and reach a scheme which is considered to be acceptable. So, running in parallel to the appeal, this duplicate application has come in, and I say the appeal is held in abeyance until the 9th of April, pending the outcome of the decision on the application this evening. Because the applicants and officers have been working together both on the current application and in tandem with that, we've been trying to progress the Section 106 contributions as quickly as possible. There are a couple of late items to report on the application that have fallen out from that, because what we're trying to do, should the scheme be successful, is be in a position where a decision can be issued as quickly as possible. And again, that's not an unusual. The two items in the late items report are, first of all, the student support scheme. You'll see in the report that the applicants had agreed to make a contribution to the student support scheme. This scheme, briefly, is a scheme which the Loughborough University operate to ensure that those students who are living in the town centre, as would be the case here, and are moved between the town centre late in the evening, between the town centre and the university campus, in terms of their welfare, that they're looked after and they're safe. So the student support scheme provides street wardens on selected evenings in the week to provide them with safety and security. Another purpose of the student support scheme is to try and ensure that those students travelling on foot between the town centre and the university campus don't cause unnecessary disturbance to local residents. So that's another part of that scheme. And that was being talked about when the agenda was being published. What you've now got is the meat on the bones, which is that the developer to make a contribution of £10,000 in perpetuity to that scheme, which in effect will provide another warden to manage one of the routes between the town centre and the campus. And again, as the report sets out, it's considered to be a proportionate approach which satisfies the SIL regulations. The second update is, whilst working on the 106 agreement, we questioned whether the community facilities satisfied the SIL regulation. So, to be crystal clear and open transparent, there's an update there. The community facilities are that the ground floor or part of the ground floor of the building would be provided at a peppercorn rent to local community groups to provide a town centre meeting place or function room for local groups or organisations. And it's felt that because the core strategy and the town centre master plan seek to propose active ground floor uses and activity and vitality in the town centre, that by having this as part of the 106 agreement, should the scheme be approved, was SIL compliant, and therefore there's a short report on that. So that's where we are with the appeal and the update. If I now move on to the substantive matter of the application. Before I start, I'd just like to emphasise that whilst the planning history of the site is a material consideration and is relevant, and the recommendation with the current application is that the scheme should be granted, I'd urge members to say that that's not because the current scheme is better than the scheme that's refused. It's being considered on its own merits, not simply because it's better than the scheme that's refused. That would be the wrong way of looking at it. And the report does make that clear. But I wanted to emphasise that at the outset. officer's views is that this is a scheme which stands upon its own merits, not simply because it's a variation of or an improvement upon something that's come to the committee before. This is something which satisfies the relevant policies, the MPPF and the Town Centre Master Plan on its own merits. This is the site which I'm sure members are familiar with. The site itself is bounded by, it's an island surrounded by Leicester Road, Barrow Street, Ormbury Gap and Pinfold Gate. There are some buildings on Pinfold Gate that would be demolished and forms part of the application site, as would the large sheds and the car sales business here. So all of those would be redeveloped as part of this scheme. The only area that's not part of the application site but is contained within these island of roads is the Phantom Public House and its garden. So that would be retained. These are some shots of the site, and again, I'm sure members are familiar with it, but it's just the view from Leicester Road and the gable end of the Phantom. You'll see there that there are taller buildings in the town on Leicester Road here, and there's the backdrop of the quite imposing cinema. This is a closer view. That's the view from Barrow Street, looking across the site. And we've got the cinema in the background, and here we have the listed cottages on Pinfold Gate. This is the corner, the Leicester Road junction of the site, just here looking back towards the Southfield offices. This is looking down Ormbury Gap towards the listed cottages. And again with the cinema as the backdrop. And again looking down Pinfold Gate at the two-storey listed cottages and the site which is proposed to be developed. And that's the Barrow Street frontage. And Barrow Street and Ormbury Gap. What's important here in terms of Barrow Street is that the new Inner Relief Road or Barrow Street does have some very large substantial buildings such as the new courthouse. And it's one where it's felt that the scale of development there was of less concern than perhaps in other parts of the site, but I shall come to that in a moment. What we've got here is a site which, in accordance with the master plan, is a boundary of buildings around the edge of the site. There are commuter uses is in the area here, the area I referred to earlier. There are some communal student uses, community uses, and some retail uses in other parts of this frontage. The frontage onto Pinfold Gate has what appear to be a series of cottages mimicking the listed cottages opposite, and we'll look at those in a moment. There is an access into the site, and there are a relatively small number of parking spaces. There are only 6 parking spaces within the site, plus a delivery turning and drop-off area. What I would emphasise, and it's clearer from the ground floor plan than for any other drawings, is that the bulk of the building is broken up by the fact that it is multifaceted. When we look at some of the elevations in a moment, and this was certainly one of the concerns with the much larger scheme that came before the committee last year, is that it appears to be a very large building which is not really broken up. I think what you see here, if you walk around the site, you'll see there are lots of different facets to the building. So there are lots of angles, lots of different parts of the building at different distances from the back of the footpath, different distances from each other. And what is proposed around the edge of the site is some planting with some street trees also proposed in Ormbury Gap. So when we've been out on site today, you've seen the photographs of the hoardings. The building itself will be actually set some way in from where the hoardings are, allows for some landscaping and this multi-faceted building to be set back into the site. One of the key things we looked at when we were considering this latest application, because it was a determining factor when we considered the last application, were the views of the Independent Design Review Panel. And they were very concerned about the general scale and bulk of the original scheme. And as a result of which, a revised scheme was submitted towards the end of last year. It went to a design review panel again at the beginning of December. and the applicants have taken on board the outcome of that design review panel. The principal things that they've picked up, and we'll go through the elevations and some photo montages in a minute, is that the landscaping is a much more integrated part of the layout, and indeed it is. You can see there's landscaping and water features within the building set back with street trees and various other parts of landscaping to soften it, and also to integrate it into this part of the town. In terms of the bulk of the building, the current building, and we'll go through the elevations now, on Barrow Street, the building is 5 stories high. And the report talks about, and the master plan refers to, buildings on this site in terms of the design principles should be no more than 5 stories in height. So the building is generally 5 stories in height, apart from the corner feature element just round in Leicester Road. And again, the master plan for the town centre doesn't say that you can't have a building more than 5 stories high, but if it is more than 5 stories high, it must be because of its exceptional design. Now, what it is felt here is that this is the Leicester Road frontage, and say there are some better images in a moment. We've now got some grass-planted walls, landscape walls on part of the building, and the taller part of the building has now been altered in two ways. There are glazed sections which separate the various facets that I described in the building. So the building is faceted with the various sections of the building separated by glazed sections, which show better in some other images later, which breaks up the bulk of the building. The building now is much lower than it was before. It's 5 stories, which accords with the town centre master plan. That portion which is higher is and redesigned with vertical emphasis on the glazing, which breaks through the parapet, and it's also proposed that this section will be finished in different material. That the predominant material on the facing of most of the building is a red brick, and this will be clad in a bronze or copper metal finish, which I'll explain in a moment. So the view was that it would turn it into a more lightweight structure. This is Pinfold Gate. Apologies, it's rather a blurred image. And this was part of the scheme that the design review panel have always been reasonably satisfied with, because it's got a three-storey terrace of buildings which reflect the scale and design of the listed cottages on the opposite side of Pinfold Gate. And again, it's slightly foreshortened the distance, because what you've got here are the higher parts of the building in the background, and if you actually stood in Pinfold Gate, you would see these buildings, but you would never see those. So it's a slightly false impression, but nevertheless, that is that's the elevation from Pinfold Gate. That's a courtyard elevation, and that's the elevation from Ormbury Gap, which again is no more than 5 stories high, going down to 3 stories, which are the terrace of houses opposite the listed cottages. The reason why the design review panel's comments are so important is that as set out in the report, the National Planning Policy Framework says that if you are looking for good quality design, exceptional design, it's incumbent upon planning authorities to take the view of an independent body such as a design review panel, and then when they've consulted with them, to take account of their comments. And in this case, this scheme has been through various iterations. And as I said, the comments made by the latest design review panel in December have been fully taken on board by the latest amendment to this application, which is before the committee tonight. The roof plan, there are various elements of green roof on the roof of the building to enhance its biodiversity. It's a part of the site of the town which is a brownfield site at present, and it's a site which is of little or no ecological value. Having the green wall on the building and having green roofs and some landscaping in the site, and even by introducing some boundary trees, it's significantly increasing the biodiversity of the site. These are some of the photo montages submitted by the applicants, which indicate the relationship between the scheme and existing development. So this is standing, looking down Pinfold Gate. These are the listed cottages. These are the lower part of the development, which are the three-storey sort of modern or contemporary styled houses. This is the Leicester Road Barrow Street corner, and this shows here that you've got the lightweight glazing underneath the building, which is adding vitality and viability to this part of the town centre, adding a bit of life to the town. And the fact that this building is at different angles to Barrow Street, you've got glazed portions breaking up the bulk of the building, and then the bit that turns the corner is a sort of a piece of architecture that is part of the main building, but is designed to look different and in different material. So it's one in terms of its tone and colour reflects the red brick, but contrasts with it in a striking way that is a landmark feature, which again is something that was required by the master plan. I'll just go through some other issues as well. The application is for student housing. The report sets out the evidence put forward and the information provided by the applicants in terms of the need for student housing. The number of units is 440 student rooms. They are configured in a number of cluster units and individual units, of which there are about 87 individual units. But the way in which housing land supply is now applied to that, in terms of the number of dwellings which that would produce, is something like about 190. So in terms of a material consideration, it's producing about 190 dwellings. So it's rather confusing. So there's 440 student rooms. They're in 50 clusters, which are sort of numbers of rooms sharing common facilities and a kitchen, and 33, in effect, individual flats. The impact of those students and their passage between the town centre and the university has been set out at the start of my presentation in terms of the student street support scheme. So there's felt to be adequate mitigation there. In terms of other mitigations, one of the concerns which have been expressed is access and parking. Now, whilst this is a very accessible town centre site, it is providing little or no car parking on site. Again, we've consulted the Highway Authority, and the Highway Authority have no objection to that arrangement, subject to some details about the access and the provision of the parking. What the scheme is subject to, and this is controlled by the legal agreement, there's a student housing management plan which restricts vehicle ownership of those students who would live in the unit, and there are sanctions that could be applied should they be in breach of those rules. There are cycle storage facilities, and again, it's as I said, fairly close to the railway station in the town centre, and for those students or others that would be occupying it, there is little or no need to have to depend upon the private motor car. The other technical requirements relating to drainage, etc., set out in the report, so there are no technical objections or concerns relating to the application. The developer contributions which have been requested of the applicant and is set out in the report have all been accepted and have all been complied with. I think in summary I'd say that this is a site which has been vacant for a long time. This scheme is bringing forward town centre residential accommodation, considerable regeneration of a site in the town centre. That regeneration is in accordance with our planning policies and our own recently adopted town centre master plan, and provides an opportunity for a scheme which would regenerate the town and provide an attractive development which has been very closely scrutinised by an independent design review panel and is felt to be a scheme which should be supported, subject to the conditions set out in the report and the requirements of a 106 agreement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reid. We have a number of speakers to this application. We have Ms. L. Sutton and Mr. Richard Kent, who are objectors, and I understand that they will share their 5 minutes. We have Frances Turner on behalf of Future Generation, who are the applicants. And we have Councillor Mary Draycott, who is one of the members for the ward. So, Ms. Sutton and Mr. Kent, would you like to come forward? You can share the 5 minutes. How you do it is up to you, but I will stop you at the 5 minutes. Please begin when you're ready.
Good evening, everyone. Future Generation started just 2 years ago with Bahraini investment money. Ambitious, yes. Experienced early days despite their claims. Loughborough's on its, quote, hit list. There's no need for this. They have no local knowledge. Their supporting data in officer's report is wrong. The uni's response to this data states, demand supply calculations for student accom significantly wrong, data inaccurate, focuses on national trends, not local ones, student numbers significantly overestimated. It requests FG's data be treated with caution. FG claims 10,000 Loughborough students have no access to PBSAs. Uni says figures wrong and many students prefer HMOs. Latest uni figures, 6,500 students live in town, not FG's 10,000, rest on campus, at home or on placement, a figure constant since 2011. There's hundreds of new beds on campus and in pipeline from 2019. Student recruitment constant over the next 5 years. Uni not expanding. Plus, students prefer to live on or close to campus. Uni concludes, quote, we're not convinced of the need for this accommodation and see no need based on current or future student numbers at Loughborough. Also, off campus, private developers offering 400 plus new rooms from 2019. A shortage of accom. Uni says no, quote, a significant oversupply, oversupply. You must know that Prof Smith supplied evidence to CBC of over 2,000 empty bed spaces in both HMOs and PBSAs. Students' Union President advises, quote, I did not support supply need for PBSA in letter and says, quote, there's more than enough student accommodation. Well, who to believe? I suggest our prestigious university. 158 letters of support? Very misleading. There are rules governing developer-generated and administered proformas, and signatories did not consent for personal details on Planning Explorer. Several have complained under data protection. HMOs. Report says PBSAs could free up student HMOs for conventional housing. Where's the evidence? Durham, Bath, Coventry, Canterbury, Portsmouth, Lincoln, etc. Authorities concede it's an urban myth. Price is a factor. Why pay £140 a week when half that secures a good room in an HMO with friends and car parking? And note, CBC is still inundated with HMO planning applications. The location. Historic England disagrees with CBC. There will be harm and damage to adjacent conservation areas and heritage assets. Quote, buildings still too prominent. I've spoken to AG. An appeal, don't worry. A PBSA of similar size and scale was refused in Baxtergate by Planning Inspectorate. Reason, too high a concentration of students on a town centre site, even at 300, mooted. Detrimental effect on conservation area. Planners have withheld this legal precedent from you. I'm informed the uni and students' union will object to PBSA at appeal. Fact, there's no established need for this. Loughborough's not a city, it's drowning in excess capacity, including vacancies in existing PBSAs. And now reports of PBSA oversupply in some cities. Guardian and BBC Panorama investigated. A speculator's bubble soon to burst. We don't need a white elephant. What about transient noise? Unenforceable car parking. Bins. University states, quote, there's no need, not in Loughborough, and that's on record. 106, a safety net, not approval. An appeal, bring it on. We urgently need a medical centre and more GP healthcare provision. Okay, there's another developer waiting in the wings for this site, the NHS.
Thank you. I'd like to specifically raise that concerns regarding regarding the impact on primary care services in the area. Parkview and Pinfold Gate surgeries both object to this development. Neither practice has the physical space, the resources or the capacity to accommodate 440 new patients. We met with Future Generation to explore hosting a medical centre within their development. However, their lack of understanding of the requirements of a modern GP surgery soon became apparent. This is further reinforced by the suggested 106 healthcare contribution, which is significantly below the amount requested based on approved NHS methodologies. Car parking and access for emergency vehicles remain a serious concern. Claims of development will benefit the economy are spurious. The university has no plans to increase the number of student places. This will simply displace students from other areas, having a negative impact on us and the University Medical Centre. What's urgently needed is a purpose-built medical centre and additional affordable family housing, not more unnecessary student accommodation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Francis Turner, please. Ms. Turner is speaking on behalf of the applicant.
Hello, and thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of this application. You may recall that I spoke last year on a previous proposal for this site, which was not supported by the case officer and refused on the grounds of height and design. The proposal in front of you today is markedly different. We have carefully considered feedback from the Plans Committee, officers and the local community for the revised scheme. In summary, we have significantly reduced the height, reduced the bed spaces by nearly a third from 612 to 440, removed the football pitch, revised our approach to designing the elevations, improved landscaping and undertaken further heritage and visual impact analysis. We are delighted to now have a positive officer recommendation as well as support from numerous consultees, including the design review panel. A significant number of residents, students, local businesses and community groups, including Charnwood Arts, Hastings Community Association, the BID and Loughborough Students' Union, have expressed their support. This is evidenced by the 160 letters received. Before you consider our proposals, I want to cover a few key points. Firstly, design and heritage. We have listened to the comments provided by yourselves at last committee, as well as from officers, in order to ensure that the height and design of the building is appropriate. We have significantly reduced the height and massing, with the tower reduced by 7 storeys and other areas by 2 to 3 storeys. This design complies with the adopted town centre master plan, which states the acceptability of a perimeter block pattern, heights at 3 storeys on Pinfold Gate and 5 storeys elsewhere, except on the corner where a taller element is acceptable. The revised proposals have also received support from design and heritage officers, members of the DRP and statutory consultees such as Historic England. Secondly, student need. The site is specifically allocated within the master plan for student accommodation, for which there is a significant existing and projected demand. An external report showed there are approximately 16,000 students within Loughborough, of which 7,000 do live in purpose-built student accommodation. This does, however, leave 9,000 students living within conventional housing. Furthermore, there has been a year-on-year increase in student numbers accepted by Loughborough University. Latest UCAS statistics show an increase of 330 students between 2017 to 2018. Therefore, the scheme is in accordance with relevant planning policy and addresses current and projected demand. Thirdly, parking. We have included 6 car parking spaces, 2 of which are allocated for disabled persons. However, as a reputable student accommodation provider, we encourage sustainable travel, where possible, designing our developments without parking for students. This is in line with requirements of national planning policy, in this case, Leicestershire County Council. Residents are not permitted to bring a car, and this is enforced in our tenancy agreements, as well as our Section 106 agreement, which ensures there is a legal obligation to comply with this. We monitor this carefully and have specific policies setting out how students should abide by these rules. Our student housing management plan sets out a strict process for moving days. We arrange parking for parents and appropriate location so that once they have picked up or dropped off, then go visit the town centre without parking on local roads. We have also committed to a financial contribution towards the Student Street Support Scheme. Finally, community uses. A provision of community facilities has always been a key component of the proposal. We have worked hard to ensure that, despite the reduction in the overall scheme, these much-needed facilities were not lost. We've held numerous discussions with local groups, including the HCA and Charnwood Arts, who have both expressed a keen interest in occupying this space should planning be granted. This floor space will be provided rent-free and is secure within the Section 106, ensuring such space is affordable and benefits the local community. In addition to the above, financial contributions are being made towards the following. £10,000 per annum towards the Student Street Support Scheme, over £5,700 for Town Centre Parks improvements, over £49,300 for Town Centre Public Realm enhancement, £75,500 for traffic regulation orders, £6,000 monitoring fee for sustainable travel accreditations and recognition scheme, over £35,900 to increase the capacity of local healthcare facilities, and a council tax payment of £67,000 to cover the summer period. In conclusion, we have sought to address the key concerns that were raised in relation to our previous application. I ask you to consider our proposals afresh in light of the revisions we have made and your officer's positive recommendation. Thank you for your time.
Ms. Turner. Councillor Draycott, please, when you're ready. When you're ready.
Thank you, Chair. I wish to make the following comments. First, the application being considered tonight is an improvement on the first application, which is a borough councillor for the Hastings ward I had a number of concerns about and did submit them at the time to the planning department. The reduction down to 3 to 7 stories this time, I feel, makes the building more fitting for the town, and less accommodation is also a plus, although I still have reservations whether the need is really there. UCAS applications are not an indicator of future actual students. Also, I see no mention of how all of these students will free up residential accommodation elsewhere, as you stated, Chair, in the earlier planning application. It will not happen. It does not happen. I've never seen any evidence that it will happen. Why it's ever included in a report, I don't know, Chair. This application also refers to traffic and vehicle ownership. My question to the committee is how will all of the vehicles arriving at the start of term, a very short time frame, plus leaving at the end of term, be managed? How and where will they all park with only 6 parking spaces? I still have concerns about how the listed cottages on Pinfold Gate will bear all the disturbance during the works, and would ask if a phone number or a contact detail could be issued to those residents so that if there is any problems, they can have a direct point of call, Chair. Also, I see in the report recognition that there will be a student route from the building to the university. And as has been said, support for the Student Street Support Scheme is being recommended. It's inevitable, as current practice proves, there will be issues. I believe this information about this scheme, which will be provided to the Plans Committee, but I would ask that that scheme be also provided to the public, Chair. After saying this, the site has been standing empty for 20 years, and as there is no other application in the pipeline that I'm aware of, it is this application to be decided upon, and I recognise a lot of work has been done to take into account previous concerns. My final comments are to do with the building itself, if you approve it tonight. Being in such a prominent position, materials used must be of the highest quality, and safeguards must be put in place by the Plans Committee to ensure it looks pristine for future years. For such a landmark building and its landscaping, were its condition and appearance to deteriorate, it would have a serious detrimental effect on the whole of the town. In conclusion, in simple terms, a high quality of design and materials used can be the only criteria for agreeing this application tonight. It needs to respect the area and conditions need to be in place to ensure its appearance is maintained to a high standard in future years. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Draycott. Colleagues, I have a number of speakers, councillors who wish to speak. I have Councillor Seaton, Councillor Bebbington, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Gerrard, Councillor Fryer, Councillor Tassel. Are there any, does anyone else, thank you, Councillor Lowe. Is there anyone else at this stage who wishes to add their name? Very well. Councillor Seaton, please.
Thank you, Chair. I must admit at the beginning, well, all the presentation really, I felt as if my arm was being twisted behind my back because it did make a very good job of pointing out the benefits of this and that the leading in design. And I just felt as if I was being hoodwinked. But we finally came to this. And I like the first bit. I like the flow. I like the movement of it, the street scene that it creates. I want to know a little bit more about it. Why aren't we seeing the 360-degree effect? I can see that corner, but I can't see the back. The mimicking of the cottages, we just saw that roughly in the distance. Have they not got a clearer view of that? In the presentation. If you have, I'd like to see that, please. Going back to the building, the big light-coloured building, I like it an awful lot better. I mean, it's not something that I'd pull away from. It looks quite attractive. But the lighter building on the path level, what is that, please? Is it a colonnade to walk through, or I can't quite see what it is from there. I'd have liked to. Are they all doorways, or is it bottom windows there? Is it shops there, or whatever? I don't know. NHS, S106 agreements, money on it. We've been told by one of the speakers that it was below what is normally acceptable. So I'd like feedback on that. That's cottages. I'd like some more facts and figures, or should we be bothered with facts and figures? The fact that the students aren't going to be there. From the last speaker, it's 400 students that are looking for accommodation or will come on for accommodation. The speaker before told us it's saturated. That it's just full anyway. And university's not going to grow. So that was a bit contradiction there. And I think that's it so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Mr. Reeve, would you like to respond, please?
Yes, certainly, of course I will. In terms of images around the site, let's look at this one first of all. Councillor Seaton was asking about the colonnade. I mean, there are retail and commercial uses going in there, so it's not a colonnade, but it's part of the life and activity of the ground floor. The purpose of the ground floor is that there will be... You walk around it, but it's all part of the life and activity of the building at ground floor. In terms of Pinfold Gate, I'm afraid we've got the elevations that I showed earlier. This is the only one we've got showing the relationship between, as I say, the contemporary buildings and the houses. I can show you the front elevation of that, but I think this is probably better than the front elevation drawing, to be honest. Yes. But I mean, what this is trying to show is that this part of the street reflects the scale of listed buildings, but is done in a contemporary manner. So that.
The presentation said they mimic. The word was mimic there.
Yes.
Mimic is what I see there.
Okay, well, I mean, perhaps doesn't mean it's insofar as they're a modern interpretation of a terrace of buildings. Okay. So that's a modest list of terrace cottages. This is a modern terrace of buildings of a similar scale and style. In terms of the NHS, I mean, we've consulted the West Leicestershire Clinical Commissioning Group, who are the statutory consultee. I know there's conflicting information or comments from the surgeons themselves, but our statutory duty is to consult the commissioning body who coordinate all of these things, and the response we've got from them is a request for a developer contribution of whatever the amount is. I don't know how they use their methodology, or I can only assume that they were consulted, they've applied their methodology, and they've asked for a sum of money which the developers agree to pay. Facts, figures, need for the beds. I mean, there is some conflicting and detailed evidence and information throughout the report. And I mean, first of all, it is slightly one-sided because most of the information has come from the applicants themselves, an expert they've commissioned. They have gone to UCAS in terms of, there are two figures that have come from UCAS. One is the number of applicants, and I think it's generally accepted that is slightly flawed because lots of people apply to lots of universities because you're not sure where you're going to end up or what grades you'll get. But what the latest information that's referred to in the report also talks about is the UCAS records of how many people have actually taken up the places, and that indicates that there has been an increase in take-up. Now, I'm not an expert. All I can say is that's the information that's been given to us, slightly one-sided from the applicants, but that seems to suggest there's an increase. But also what I'd emphasise is that it's not for the applicants to prove the need. The applicants there to say there appears to be a market requirement for this type of housing. The master planner talks about this site being suitable for housing, which could be a specialist type of housing, including student housing. This applicant has come forward with a particular type of housing and is you know, they wouldn't proceed with it if they thought there wasn't a need, I would guess. But that's their judgment. Sorry, I thought this was a reasonable representation or indication of what it would probably look like. But yes, I mean, it depends on how far you want to go. So I think that's noted certainly for the future as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Councillor Babington, please.
Thank you, Chair. There was quite a lot of talk that got nothing to do with planning, I felt, during the discussion earlier. What Mr. Reid was too kind to say was that it's actually not our problem to determine how many student places are needed or necessary. That's not a planning consideration. It's up to the applicant to fulfil whatever they. We should be looking at as a building or a series of buildings and whether it's suitable for that site. And I actually think we do have something that is significantly better than last time, and I actually find it quite acceptable. I understand the problems, and I think they've done quite a good job on it. It is Pinfold Gate, isn't it, with the terraced houses down there. I think they've done as well as they can do down there, and I think it would add value to the entrance to the town. At the moment, we've got a site that's been sitting there for 20 years with a second-hand car place on it, and I think that's about it. We have to do something sensible with it. This, I think, is as good as we're going to get, and therefore I'm going to propose that we go with officer's recommendation and actually accept this proposal. Oh, there was one thing I was going to say. I was actually a student here when Loughborough was made a university. One of the great things about it was the halls of residence that it had, and a much higher percentage of students at Loughborough go into a hall of residence, and it makes life so much simpler for, as a student, when you've got that facility available to you. And when you look at some of the places that we've actually seen on Pleasant Finis that are put as a suitable accommodation for people in, one of them was a cupboard with a mattress in it. Absolutely disgraceful, and I think this would be a much better option. It's slightly too far away from the university, as I would prefer if it was nearer, but that's where the site is. You can't just invent sites there. You have to go where they are, and I think this is an extremely good use of this site. And as I say, I support the proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Bebbington. Councillor Bentley, please.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I agree with Brenda that this is a far better proposal than last time. I think as a building, it's fine. I don't really have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is several things, and that is that we've heard that there is no evidence to suggest that there's any demand for it. So if this is being built and tailored for a specific purpose, and then that purpose falls through and it needs to be refocused to something else, then that something else may include people who need a car. And there isn't any facilities on this site. For car park spaces, it's like... It's 1% of the accommodation here that has got the facility of being able to have a car. So if it's true that, in fact, there is no demand and it doesn't get taken up, what's it going to be retasked for? And what we've talked about is the fact that we want this to remain in perpetuity, as far as perpetuity goes, that this is a gateway into the town and it wants to remain looking in good order. Now, if there is no demand for this, what happens is that these buildings just fall into disrepair, and over time they'll just look a disgusting wreck. The other issue I have is that by such a large concentration, if it were to be filled with students, you've got an awful lot of people, an awful lot of students congregating in one area of town, and we've heard about transient noise. Now, we've heard about the fact that there's going to be a warden, there's £10,000 in perpetuity, which means forever. And I'd like to see that, if this is to get passed, that is an arrangement that is actually in perpetuity and not something that's suddenly going to disappear in 10 years' time. And if this was to be passed, if the current arrangement no longer exists, that there is some other arrangement to police this. So it just doesn't disappear, it goes into a void somewhere, and that money is going to be ongoingly available for the purposes for which it was intended at the outset. So I'm not going to second this at this point because I want to hear what other people have to say, but essentially it's not the building that I have a problem with. It's what happens if the building doesn't get the necessary backing to make it work. What happens then?
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. I'll ask Mr. Reid to respond, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I mean, in terms of the need or the use, I think we've discussed that in some detail around the table this evening. What I would say is that the building has been designed with something called long life loose fit, which means that it's a very flexible building, so that should another use come along in the future or all of this use not be taken up, it's a very flexible building in terms of the type of accommodation it can provide. I mean, my assumption would be it's been designed to meet a particular need, a particular market, because that's what the developers were doing. However, there is a fallback position that it's built in such a way because, you know, things may change over time, that it has some flexibility. In terms of parking, and I've explained there's a small number of parking spaces, but as part of the management plan of the building, which is subject to the Section 106 legal agreement, the way in which students are not allowed to own cars and the way in which students are dropped off and picked up is managed in a way that ensures that impact upon local roads is minimised. And in terms of the way the building looks, I know that the ward member, Councillor Draycott, raised this in terms of design and appearance. some of the conditions are quite new ones on the end of the report, the end of the recommendation, go into great detail about some of the requirements which are required to be crystal clear that it's the highest quality materials, the way it's put together, the window reveals, all those sorts of things are scrutinised very closely by officers to ensure that the design quality reflects what you've seen should it be approved.
Would you like to come back?
Yeah, I'd like to come back on that. Design is one thing, quality is one thing, but it's putting it all together and making sure that's actually delivered. Quite often we see developments that look quite nice, and in 10 years' time they start to look really shabby because of poor quality of materials used. So I want to be assured that the quality of materials presented are going to be the quality of the materials actually used. And I come back to my point again about, I'm glad to hear that the building can be retasked, but the issue still that I have with this is the fact that there's no car parking. And it could be retasked for something else, but there's no car parking. I can think of several examples in Leicester City where buildings have been retasked and they're still a disaster. They're still not occupied because there's no car parking. And I think that's what could happen here. And that's the one key area for me where this is going to fall down. I'm not too sure as I can support this. I'm going to wait for other people to hear what other people say, and then I'll make a decision on what to do, if you like, at the last minute, because I'm really concerned about this one. Not the building now. I think they've done a lot with that, and they've obviously listened. But it's the car parking and the retasking to other things based on the evidence that we've heard.
Yeah, just very briefly, otherwise it becomes a bit of... I can't say much more about the retasking. That possibility is there. That option is there, because, as I said, we never know what's going to happen in the future. In terms of parking, what I'll say is that it is, you know, one of the most sustainable parts of our borough in the town centre, where there are, you know, car parks and other modes of transport. So I accept the parking is very limited, but it is, you know, as sustainable a location as you're ever likely to get.
Councillor Gerard, please.
Thank you, Chair. Bins. How many waste bins are going to be put out each week? One for household waste and another for recycling. Where will they go? Parking. Last time, I believe that no student or anyone would be allowed parking space in there. And if you look at that picture, you've got that building there, then you've got the gorgeous old houses listed, and then you've got the high building at the back of them. It looks like a partly made sandwich. I wouldn't want to live in one of those gorgeous houses with that there. To me, it's obnoxious. To come into Loughborough, which is stated as a heritage town, that heritage? No way. There's empty business premises in Loughborough already. Do we need to collect more? One of my granddaughters is a student at Loughborough Uni. She was offered 5 different residences when she first went, again at the beginning of December, and she's been offered 7 this time at the beginning of February because they couldn't fill them. That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gerard. Do you want to respond?
Can I just mention on the bins? It's something that I was concerned to members. I mean, all I can say is that the service areas on the ground floors of the building do include facilities for the storage and safe disposal of waste, and the student management plan, or the student housing management plan, which has been referred to, has rules and regulations in terms of how the students should dispose of their waste and how the people in the building will empty their waste for them. So there's a regime in place to ensure that there's a safe and clean way of disposing of waste to allow it to be collected in a regulated manner. So that is something which has been taken account of as part of this application.
Thank you. Councillor Fryer, please.
Thank you very much. I'll second Councillor Bebbington's proposal. I think, again, as previously tonight, the officers have worked extremely hard with the applicants. I don't think I agree entirely with what the officers have said. It is not our problem or our concern how they are going to fill this with students and whether the numbers are right or wrong. They're the marketing people. As regards the fact of car parking, I can think of an awful lot of buildings in Loughborough that have been, since I've been here, have been approved, that don't have car parking. In actual fact, I too have a grandchildren at university, but not in Loughborough, so I have no personal interest here for students, is the fact that most of them would prefer to live in purpose-built, modern accommodation rather than some of the HMOs or the old buildings that have been tried to make into some form of hall of residence. I do have two things. There's things have been marked about the height of the buildings. I think it's staggered. I think, yes, Pinfold Gate cottages are beautiful, and quite rightly they're listed. But across the road from there is a scrappy place at the moment, and also there are shops that keep changing. The buildings at the back. If you look at Loughborough from the height, from the sky, the buildings are all sorts of height. Within probably, 300 yards, we have 5, 6, and 7-storey buildings already. You only have to look at the back, and we've got the cinema block. We've got the courthouse. We've got buildings near the offices, the council offices, that are high, that are purpose-built. We're building a new one near the old post office that's high. So I'm delighted to see we haven't got the football pitch, and I'm delighted they've lowered it. I like the materials, I like the ideas, I like the multi-use. Now, if it should be approved, I'd like to draw attention to page 78 and some of the conditions. Should this be approved, I'd like the hours, item 5, the hours of construction and plant, I think should be 8 till, there shouldn't be 8 till 6, it should be earlier. And I do not like the idea that no collections or deliveries to the site during the construction period. Oh, I understand it now. 0700 hours and 1900 hours. So they can start delivering at 7 and finish at 7 at night. 7 at night is far too late.
1900 hours is 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. No, 1900 hours. 1900 hours. So 7 o'clock, that's too late. We've got developments in my own village, and they will only accept deliveries between 9:30 and 3:30. Otherwise, they're fined £2,500. So I'm not saying what they should be, but I do think 7 o'clock at night to still be expecting deliveries and 7 o'clock in the morning is too... And it would also add to congestion. The busiest times getting in and out of Loughborough are up to 9 in the morning and after 4:30 in the afternoon to try and manoeuvre the traffic round. So if it would be approved, I would like that to do. I do think, I appreciate Councillor Gerrard's point about the bins. I'm not imagining to see 462 bins outside there. Normally flats have some form of central storage, and they're not the bins that we know, the wheelie bins. This is a modern development, and I should think if I went thoroughly into any plans that are the disposal of waste within a complex like this would be exactly the same as some of the other big blocks of flats that are built. So, but that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fryer. Would you like to respond to that, Mr. Reid, or...?
I'll leave that for now.
Thank you. I have Councillor Tassel then, please.
Thank you. I don't dislike the building, but I just think it's too dark. I think it would be better if it was lighter and it could reflect the sunlight and the sky so that it didn't look such a big bulk. But otherwise, it's far better than the original one. But we've been talking here tonight about student how many of these student accommodations are full. And I've gone through on pages 23 and 24 of Professor Smith's assessment for student accommodation. And it's not nice reading because the print room, for instance, on Woodgate is only 84% full. The foundry is 89.3%. The Optima on Green Close Lane is 71.86%. Do we really need more student accommodation at this point in time, when at the moment the old DHSS building on Leamington Street has got the scaffolding up? It's all being changed to a student accommodation, more student accommodation. We seem to be taking over the old town. You've only got to look at Woodgate, for instance. You've got the Beehive accommodation, which is next door to the Beehive car park. Massive development. Is that full? We don't know because it doesn't come into the 2018 numbers yet. When we go on to talk about car parking, we've got the Cube on Ashby Road in Loughborough, opposite the BP garage. When this was, when this went to planning and it was passed, it was said that there would be no car parking for students. Okay, you think, no students. Yes, they've got to have a bike. But they actually have cars and they're parking round on Abbotton Road, round the corner just off Old Ashby Road. And it's creating hell round there. So what they're saying is that the students won't have cars. They will, but they will park them somewhere else and cause even more problems. And I will not be able to support this development, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Councillor Tassel. I believe you would like to respond, Mr. Bennett, please.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, I think I need to make it crystal clear to the committee that there is no requirement for the applicant to demonstrate need. The council doesn't have a policy basis requiring applicants to demonstrate that there's a need for this type of accommodation. If members were minded to refuse the application on that basis, it would lead you to be on a rather sticky wicket, I would suggest. So, so my advice is that, you know, need isn't an issue that you can consider.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe, please.
Thank you. In response to Richard Bennett's reply there, and I totally agree with him that, you know, we shouldn't be looking at need. But can I ask why the report has 94 pages telling us about the need? Can I ask why the speakers were so emphatic about the need or the lack of need? I'm really confused there because I'm getting mixed messages, and I'm sure you'll have come up with a fantastic answer.
Through you, Chair, and I'm sure Pat may come in on this. The issue is that the applicants have responded to the representations that have been made through the process, perhaps also from the previous process as well, and felt they the requirement to demonstrate information in support of their position and in response to the comments that have been made. So, you know, part of our role is to sort of articulate the points that have been made both by concerned residents and community and the evidence that's been put forward by the applicant. Pat wants to come in on
that. Yeah, I mean, just one of the points that's been raised in terms of one of the assessments of need was the fact that other purpose-built student accommodation is not 100% full. I think that's, in my view, slightly misleading, because if you look at any type of accommodation, it's never going to be 100% full. So if it's 70 or 80% full, that's probably as much as it ever will be full, because if you look at a housing stock, always has an element of vacancy. Shops have an element of vacancy. It provides the flex in the system. So I think that the fact that existing accommodation may not be 100% occupied, it may be 80% whatever, is just the natural flex in the system. So I think in terms of need, as we said, the applicants don't have to prove it. There are only a couple of sections in the report. It's only a fairly short section that talks about need, and all it says is all we've looked at is, and the report does say, is the one-sided evidence that's come from the applicants, plus some contradictory comments from the university. So it's not a big issue. It's not a major issue in terms of the determination of the application. It's just something that's been picked up by people. The applicants have provided some evidence, and there's some information from UCAS that's put forward there. But I don't think it's not the deal breaker in terms of the determination of the application. There are, it's what it's bringing to the town, what it looks like, and other things that are far more important.
You mentioned their contradictory comments from the university. I know the university actually said that the figures are wrong, or treat them very sceptically, that they might not be correct. But if we take the need away, which really concerns me, I just don't think there's that need within Loughborough for this student accommodation. I look at it, that's a massive HMO. That is a huge HMO. And it will be empty for quite a substantial time during the year, which will turn Loughborough into a ghost town. We already moan about Loughborough becoming a ghost town when the university shuts down. We are putting 400 students right in the middle of Loughborough, and then for two-thirds of the year there's going to be nobody there. That worries me. I think this is too big for this area, and therefore I won't be able to support it. What this needed was the application one tonight on Granite Way. This needed that there, and I would have fully supported that, because that would have looked absolutely fantastic there. I just think this is too big. But I think, I've said everything I need to say. Thank you very much, Chair.
Councillor Seaton, I believe you wish to speak again, please.
As for need, I think it's a commercial enterprise anyway, and it won't get built probably if they can't establish a full need. That they're not going to build it for the hell of it. They're building it to fill it. I think I will support this application. Whether it will get through or not, it's 100 times better than it was. And the site does need developing. It needs some life there. It's a very, very strategic site for Loughborough, and I think it's something is needed there, and I will support this application.
Very well. Is there anyone else at this stage who wishes to speak? Very well. We have excuse me. Councillor Bebbington proposes that the committee accepts officer's recommendation, and there is a seconder in Councillor Fryer. All those in favour, please.
We've got a suggestion from Councillor Fryer to amend the construction time period and the delivery period. I'm going to read the time for that.
Yes, there are. I can't read your writing, Richard.
Shall I help?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Chair, through you. I think Councillor Fryer, when she was seconding the proposal, spoke about her concerns about the hours of construction. I think she felt that the 1,800 hours in the evening was a little too late, and also the issue around the delivery of materials on site at 1,900 hours was a little too late. So I think perhaps members want to have a think about what they do think is an appropriate time.
Would it help if I put my ideas what I think would be sensible times for work? I would say start at 8 a.m. and finish by 1800 hours maximum, preferably 1700, but it's probably 8 till 1700 working, and deliveries between the hours of 9 a.m. till 1600 hours.
Are you happy with that, Councillor Bebbington?
Yes, I'm quite
thank
happy
you.
With that.
Okay.
And sorry, that's not 7 days a week. That's as per in here, Monday to Friday, those hours, and to finish by 1 o'clock, 1300 hours on a Saturday. No Sundays, no bank holidays.
Fine. That can be incorporated then. Thank you. Right, let's move to the vote then, please. We've got a proposal, we've got a seconder. The proposal is that we accept officer's recommendation. All those in favour, please. All those against. Oh, sorry.
Can I just say that I can't support this, but I can't think of a single reason that we could turn it down either.
Right, colleagues, let's have one conversation. All those are against the proposal, then.
We've had a discussion that's been going on for over. We've had a discussion that's been going on well over an hour. We've all had a chance to make our statements, and I think everybody that wants to make a statement has made a statement. It's time, and nobody objected or put any further objections or amendments together following Councillor Fryer's suggestions. I think it's time for a vote. We've already had the first part of it. Let's finish it off.
Chair, can I vote for it, please? Count me in as a four.
Do it again.
Ask for those in favour again.
Councillor Bentley, you're asking me to take the vote again.
Chair, yes, please, because I would like to now vote for it. Not because I particularly like it, just that I can't think of a single reason to vote against it.
Excuse me, Councillor Bentley. Right. The proposal is that we accept officer's recommendation to permit this application. May I see all those in favour, please? Thank you. All those against? Thank you. We accept officer's recommendation. Thank you. I'm sorry, we need to continue with the meeting. Are you all right, Ian?
Thank you, Chair.
Right, I've now got to read something else out to you. Are you all paying attention? Right. Item 7, this is an urgent decision. This decision... Oh, of course. I'm so sorry. I'm running ahead of myself. Can I refer you, please, to... I don't know what item number it is. I don't care anymore. What number is it?
Item six.
Item six. Yes. No, I'm not sure at all. These are delegated planning decisions made by Charnwood Borough Council since the last plans meeting. These decisions have already been taken. You will, of course, know that. But I can ask if there is anyone who wants to raise anything or ask questions about these decisions. Anyone? Okay. I will now move on to item 7 and read something at you. Are you ready for this? As with the previous item, this decision has already been made. It is included on the agenda in the interests of transparency as it was taken using the urgency procedure, and that does not allow for the normal consultation with ward councillors. Do any members of the committee have any questions regarding the decision? We don't have to make a decision about it. We have to note it. But are there any questions?
Noted.
Right, I close the meeting then, colleagues, at 8:30, and thank you very much for your attendance and your attention. Thank you.